You are Locked On Rays, your daily Tampa Bay Rays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, my name is Kevin Weiss.
I'm Ulysses Sambrano,
host of Locked On Rays on the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. You can find Locked On Rays on the Himalaya app, as well as Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Rays. Well, Ulysses, I'm glad we're not going to talk about last night's game very much, which ended up in a walk-off home run for the Athletics to make things even worse for this Tampa Bay franchise.
It's one of life's regrets to be a fan of a team that, you know, you stay up way too late. And because they're playing out west, and you know you shouldn't, and they are going to win. They're three outs away, and yet
up they by manage three, some up by three runs, nonetheless.
Yeah, and it just doesn't happen. So that's I think that's happened to every fan, and unfortunately, it happened to Tampa Bay Rays fans last night.
But the bigger news and the biggest news that dominated the baseball marketplace yesterday, today, probably throughout the weekend, is the Rays are, yes, they are going to explore splitting games with Montreal in the future. They're targeting 2023. That seems a little bit premature to me, but at some point you could possibly have a scenario where 40 home games are played in Tampa, St. Pete rather, and 40 home games are played in Montreal. So one team, two cities, two countries, 1,300 miles apart, and this is what they've come up with. This is what they announced, and they're going to have a press conference, media availability on Tuesday at the Dolly Museum in St. Pete, where I'm sure Stu Sternberg will be there. All the Rays officials will be there. It'll be a big to-do. I'm sure ESPN's going to be flying in, you know, dozens of people, and it's going to be crazy in St. Pete on Tuesday. But I think the biggest issue I have with this is the fact that they had to announce this now while the Rays are in the string of a tough road trip. They're trying to get back on track. And now you've got the players thinking about this, the managers, coaching staff, the front office, the whole organization. Like, you couldn't wait a little bit. You couldn't wait until after the season or at a point where maybe the All-Star break even. You
exactly.
Have to do it now.
I just don't get the timing, number one. I just, you know, the All-Star break is less than a month away.
Mm-hmm. You couldn't hold it for another month?
You couldn't hold it for another month. And the other thing, I mean, this is – I think this would bring more trouble than – bring a solution, I think, especially on the players. What, you're going to pay rent on two places the same year without living in one? You're going to displace your family and your pets throughout the season even more? Mm-hmm. What about playoff games? Are they played in both cities for the same series or not?
What you could do is, you know, after like the fourth inning, you just fly back to Montreal or fly to Tampa and just finish up the rest of the home game. That might
right.
be a solution.
They're just going to be collecting more air miles, right?
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, there's no direct flights there either, I don't think.
Oh, right. So, yeah. Okay, so we got to get working on that first.
The hurdles are dozens upon dozens.
More than positives here. Now, I read the only statement that the Tampa Bay Rays provided was very short, and it was by Stu Sternberg, and he says, "My priority remains the same. I am committed to keeping baseball in Tampa Bay for generations to come. I believe this concept is worthy of serious exploration." That sounds as hollow as it could possibly get. I don't see how you are looking to keep baseball in Tampa Bay by taking baseball from Tampa Bay.
I think the thing, and I'm sure Tuesday he's going to elaborate more on that. And for me, when I first heard about it, like most fans, I was like, what the heck is going on here? But the more and more I thought about it, if it's really their only solution, the only thing that they've got as of right now, the only card that they've got in their pocket or in their hand is to split the season. I'm fine with it as long as it keeps baseball in the Tampa Bay area. I think there's a better way around this. For example, getting work together, municipalities, governments work together to get the, to get a stadium in Hillsborough County in Tampa. Because to me, if you build, you can build a $1 billion, a $2 billion, $10 billion stadium on that Trop site, I still don't think that's going to fix the problem. Location, 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 location.
Exactly. I mean, that's just what's happening. And it's very infuriating to listen to talking heads that actually have some power, like Rob Manfred. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about how the Trop, well, you know, well, I think we believe baseball can survive in Tampa. Well, first of all, we also think so, but the Trop is not in Tampa. It's in St. Pete. Mm-hmm. The fact that you don't know that is kind of scary, because you can make very big decisions for people that live in Tampa, people that live in St. Pete, and you can take it away, and you don't even know where the difference between St. Pete and Tampa. That's very infuriating to hear. Second of all, I saw somewhere that they were thinking, well, if this actually happens, then the splitting would mean making new stadiums, both open air. It's really hot in Tampa and in St. Pete, mm-hmm. from March to November. Do they know that? Because they said, oh, the early part of the season would be played in Florida. So you're trying to get people to go to a baseball game, an open-air stadium in Florida on April, May, perhaps June, mm-hmm. with lightning, with the torrential rain. I mean, are you kidding me? Do you even know where we are?
Right, and I think with that is, as far as a new stadium is concerned, we've talked about this before, is you've got to have it enclosed in Florida. Okay, if you're playing games in January, February, and March, spring training, okay, that's fine. But once you hit April, May, and June, all bets are off. And I think if they were to go with that decision, they would just renovate Al Lang Stadium. The team already owns the Rowdies, and kind of make it a mixed-use facility with soccer and baseball. But to me, you've still got the issue of you're in St. Pete. What, the Trop and Al Lang are about a mile apart? Okay, Al Lang is on the waterfront, and you know that's a nice addition. And but still, the problem is, I think the stadium's got to be in Hillsborough County.
Right, the population within a 30-minute drive is the lowest for in all of MLB for the Rays. Okay, so it's very difficult to get there. I mean, some stadiums that have really high attendance, by the way, besides tradition, which really counts, and people cannot remember that when they talk about the stadium situation. Tradition matters.
It takes time.
Exactly, it takes time. The second thing that matters, it's the drive to the stadium. Do we have a subway to get us to the stadium? Do we have any other type of transportation? We could have a ferry, but nobody knows about the ferry, and it takes like an hour. That's not efficient at all.
And that's the issue, because it seems like St. Pete, Hillsborough County are constantly at odds. Mayor Rick Kreisman and Ken Hagan, Hillsborough County Commissioner, they're always bickering, always going back and forth. And I tend to agree more with Ken Hagan. I mean, he seems to be the more guy with a little bit more sense as far as let's find a workable solution to help out the Tampa Bay area as a whole, as opposed to just St. Petersburg and just Pinellas County.
Yeah, and I think we're going to mention this today at on our Locked On Rays Twitter feed, but maybe, and this is what I can hope for, that this is just a ploy, a power play, mm-hmm. of sorts to make Pinellas and Hillsborough people get together, sing Kumbaya, and agree on a stadium. Maybe that this is Sue Sternberg's way of saying, well, you know what? We can just give you less baseball if you guys are not willing to play ball. And then it takes, you know, Ken Hagan, the new mayor, Jane Castor, Chrisman to get together, talk about it, and get something done. Maybe this is the last card that MLB said, well, if you say this, they could play together.
Again, I know this is pie in the sky and this is utopia thinking, but build a new stadium somewhere in Tampa, play half the home games in Tampa, half the home games in St. Pete, at the Trop or Al Lang. That should be the two city solution right there.
Really, yeah. I think a lot of people would would rather have that than go to Montreal. Right. And besides, like,
I think the
Montreal
other,
just had a team and they took it away 15 yeah. years ago. I mean, we grew up with the Montreal Expos.
We've seen it hasn't worked there. We've seen it hasn't worked there.
This would be silly. This would be.
Now the difference with Montreal is they've got corporate billionaires coming together. They want baseball. They want to make it happen. But as far as filling the seats and generating interest, that's an issue. Another issue is you think the Blue Jays are just going to okay this? Say okay, yeah, let's add another team to the country that we've been dominating. As far as we've been the only show in town, and now you're going to add this to the equation. Not only that. But in the AL East?
Yeah, I mean, no. And I know there would be natural rivals, you know, being so close to Boston and New York.
Right.
But I don't think the people that want baseball in Montreal would also be – if they want baseball, they don't want 40 games. They want 81 games.
Right.
And they want to follow their team, not a team that splits cities. Just like we don't want to split our team into two cities. So I don't see this as viable. I want to believe in good things and silver linings. So like I said, we'll make a poll of it today, but maybe this is just a power play. And I would like to really see what other people that are listening to us, if they think so too, or if they don't. They think this is the beginning of the end and we should kind of start to imagine what it would be like to not have Tampa Bay Rays baseball in the Tampa Bay area.
Right. And I think, again, I go back to as I read more and more about it, again, the Rays are very strategic with what they do. They've obviously thought about this quite a bit and are kind of maneuvering here, and whether it's to just get a new stadium or they really do want the two-city approach. I'd rather have that than have baseball leave entirely, completely. So I think, like Henry Clay said, a great compromise is when two parties aren't happy. It's something like that anyway. So
this might be
satisfied.
This might be the best episode just because you have made a Henry Clay reference. So
I try to bring up a little history now and again. The other thing with the two-city approach is, it's also not fair to the Tampa Bay region to have your meaningful games, possibly the most meaningful games, August, September, all played in Montreal. If you're going to do that, I think in those months, you've got to find a way to alternate homestands or something. You can't just, okay, well, we've got a great wild card race going down. Too bad all the games are in Montreal.
I mean, yeah, and so what does that mean? I don't think this is a viable solution, Kevin, because, yes, a game on April 4th has the same value as a September 28th game, right? Mm-hmm. They are, a win is a win, a loss is a loss. However, it's not as meaningful to play one or the other. Yeah. One or the other. So,
and based off of that, think about the attendance. You're probably going to have more fans in Montreal at those times as opposed to an early April game in St. Pete or Tampa, wherever, and it's going to continue to facilitate that debate of, well, now the Tampa Bay area doesn't deserve baseball. Well, yeah, because you got home games in April 30th and May
12th. Yeah, because their record is 5-2 right now. It does, because you don't think it matters right then, you know? And it does. Obviously, we know that it does. Especially with the skid that's happening with the race. If they hadn't gotten off to such a great start, we would be in a different place right now. But, you know, if you're looking at it emotionally, the games in September and August and September, they just have a little different vibe, and that's okay because there's a chase, hopefully, that's happening. But yeah, I just I don't. We'll learn more.
Oh yeah, we'll find out on Tuesday because that is going to be a boon of a press conference for sure.
Yeah,
and I think as far as hurdles, I mean, definitely getting Toronto to okay it, the MLB owners to okay it. Although there's been kind of a preliminary okay from the MLB, but probably most importantly, more importantly than that, is the players' union.
The players' Again. Union, and what about the lease that the Trop has for the team to host games until 2027? Like, how can you go against that lease? I'm pretty sure that that one was super tight, and that's why they haven't even been able to look at Hillsborough County. So you're going to look in another country. I think this has to be a ploy, Kevin. Right. This has to be a ploy to kind of tighten up the screws for people down here to make something work. Because I just see more problems than solutions by having Montreal become a two-city solution to this problem.
Now, as far as the use agreement, again, it ends in 2027, and I think every year that use agreement loses value. So there might be something in there where the Rays can just say, all right, we'll just pay off whatever is left on that use agreement, and if they have to fight Pinellas County or St. Pete in court, then so be it. But if that means doing what they have to do to get things on the right track. So I actually think that is a hurdle, but I think there's actually bigger hurdles than that. Although, you know, Rick Kreisman has come out and said, we're not going to let him do it. He's basically put his foot down, which I think at the end of the day doesn't help matters, because then you're ticking off the team and making them think, okay, well, we'll just pack up and leave at some point. 2027, the minute that hits, we're gone.
Yeah, he said, after 12 years of indecision, I am tired of the games that are being played related to getting a new stadium. Frankly, I believe this is getting a bit silly. Help out then.
Yeah.
Help out.
Again, it goes back to stop the bickering, stop the whining, stop going back and forth trying to get your quote in the newspaper and the media. Work together. Everybody is to blame in this, I think.
Everybody.
Ownership, fans, government officials, everybody.
MLB.
MLB. Everybody has to take a little bit of the blame here. And I know I was listening to Sports Talk Radio. You look at Twitter and everybody is just hammering and hammering on Stu Sternberg. And I get it. You're a fan. Nobody likes the billionaire owner. But at the end of the day, he's turned this team into a winner. He brought in the staff that revolutionized the game, really. And would we like to see them sign a few more free agents and have an $80 million payroll instead of a $65 million payroll? That's fine. But be careful for what you wish for, because there are a lot worse owners out there that
A lot worse scenarios, as we have just learned yesterday. And this made waves, Kev, because I've got a few friends that are outside Florida that have lived in Florida, and they texted me immediately. They were like, yo, what's happening with this two-city solution? And the three of them were saying how, you know, it's just not viable. And it just doesn't seem like it could be. I cannot believe that this is an actual scenario where this could work. It didn't work with Montreal Expos in Puerto Rico, for those two seasons that they did that. So no, I think this is just trying to tighten up the screws to people in Tampa Bay to actually get something done, because it brings more problems than solutions.
And the thing with that, and kind of piggybacking off of that a little bit and going back to the Sternberg thing, again, they've been doing promotions, giveaways, $5 tickets, for God's sakes, and people still aren't showing up. They still can't sell those out. So it's partly on the fans, but definitely the location of the ballpark as well. We go back to that. You got to put it into a place where people can walk from their offices and go to the game, where there's the population is significantly greater. Just like Amalie Arena, people can get off work. They either have a short drive, they can walk, whatever it may be, or even somewhere on Dale Mabry. You've got to find it in that Tampa, Hillsborough County.
I mean, to make it wouldn't viable. It be nice to have a Rays stadium right where that Yankee spring training stadium is? I mean, that would be incredibly nice. How about
can we just bulldoze that down and,
wouldn't that be great?
Gain occupancy there? Because that would be the perfect location. You've already got
perfect
the parking
location.
Situated. You've got, you're right next to Raymond James Stadium. I mean, it's...
And so many cities do that. They have their their sporting complexes, you know, next
it's
to
how you're supposed
other.
To do it, really. I mean... It's not like... I mean, I was in Dallas not too long ago. You had to drive an hour to get to the Texas Rangers, and then you got to drive another hour to get to the Dallas Stars. Like, it's absurd. It's ridiculous. And it's... There's a lot smarter people that are trying to figure this out, including the Rays organization, but it's just frustrating that it's come to this at this point. And we actually put a Twitter poll question out yesterday, what fans think of the Rays possibly splitting home games with Montreal. 95% of people hate it. 5% say not ideal, but ultimately helps keep Tampa Bay in baseball. So overwhelmingly, that's the other thing. You're kind of ticking off the fan base here and saying, why am I going to spend another dollar to come to a Rays game or to buy a Rays hat or a T-shirt or what
you're
have
ticking
you?
Off, yeah, you're ticking off a fan base that already is not going to the games.
Mm-hmm.
I think a bad way of tough love,
mm-hmm.
you know, to show tough love to a fandom. I don't think that would work.
And bad timing too, like we mentioned.
Yeah, the team has just gotten off an awful series in New York. Then you drop this bomb on them. What are the players? They're not going to talk about it? Of course they are. And what about players that, you know, would like to come to Tampa to play? That just makes it even harder. If Kimbrel actually cited, hey, I feed off the energy and you guys don't have energy in that stadium, why wouldn't a free agent say, you know what, I don't want to pay two rents. I don't want to have my family move from one place to another. I'm not going to sign there. It would just make it untenable for the Rays to even sign people. I just don't think this is viable.
That's the thing with it is luring free agents is going to be an extremely difficult task. And if you do, you're going to have to pay out the wazoo. You're almost going to have to double what other teams are offering, I think.
And they don't pay anybody.
Yeah.
They don't pay anybody like that.
We had a comment from Daniel McCormick on Twitter. 2027, they are gone. They won't even be in Florida. Of course, he's talking about the Tampa Bay Rays. And we also got an email from our good buddy Ty. He said this about this splitting games with Montreal plan. This is crazy, and the reaction I have seen from friends are they are devastated, but I don't blame the team one bit. Get that supplemental income. I'm not a fan of the idea that they would play home games in the beginning of the year and games late in the year in Montreal, because what happens if they make a playoff run, like we discussed? Which fans do you reward? Look forward to hearing your thoughts. So we kind of covered that. That's the tough thing about it, too, is, you know, you... After 20 years, you're going to have all your playoff games in Montreal or you're going to have all your meaningful games late in the season in Montreal, and you might split a playoff game. That's it. So
I mean, it's not fair, obviously, to Tampa Bay Rays fans, but also, you know, I'm going to try to be a little bit more fair here. But what about the Montreal fans? I mean, what they only get baseball, say, you know, July, August, maybe half of September, and then they don't get any playoff. Yeah. Baseball?
Well,
you're mistreating two fan bases now.
Well, I think with the Montreal thing, their line of thinking is, well, they don't have baseball right now, so giving them anything, it's more you're taking things away from Tampa Bay and giving to Montreal, because Montreal just wants, hey, if it's 10 games, we'll take it. 20 games, 40 games, whatever. We just want baseball in this city, and I think that's kind of the way they're working around it, but it might be something where eventually they'd like to have 80 games.
Well, exactly. I don't think humans are like that, Kevin. I think humans, when they receive something, they get used to it and then they want more. And if that, and especially a group of people, and especially a group of people that are passionate about a sport. Okay. As we know, fans can get pretty obsessed about, you know, their love, their passion, for their team. And once they get a little taste of baseball up there, they might want more, and that might hurt the Tampa Bay fandom as well.
All right. What do you have for a team name? I got to hear your suggestion on a possible team name if this, in fact, does happen.
It would have to be something French, obviously.
Tampa Bay A's? Like A? here's what I got. Tampa Bay Snowbirds. Now you've got three birds in the AL East. Great.
You got the
Blue Jays, you got the Orioles, and now you got the Snowbirds. Or the Tampa Bay Snowbirds of Montreal, or the Tampa Bay / Montreal Snowbirds. Who gets top billing? Do you mention Montreal first or Tampa Bay first? I guess you got to mention Tampa Bay first.
The Tampa Bay X-rays I've seen online.
You could kind of work something in with strip clubs, because strip clubs are huge in Montreal and they're huge in Tampa. So maybe try to work an angle like that. So
yeah, maybe people have some other ideas. So please tweet at us at Locked On Rays and tell us what you think. Your funny name for the team would be.
And again, we'll be talking about this more definitely next week and after Tuesday's press conference that the team will have on this issue. We're going to change gears a little bit and kind of end the show on a lighter note.
Please, yes, let's do that.
Yes. So coming up next, we'll have baseball trivia and our weekend picks. All right, Ulysses, after going through the whole splitting games with Montreal scenario, let's have a little bit of a lighter note of things and do our regular Friday segment that we're going to try to do every week, every Friday, that is, some baseball trivia. And I'll let you go ahead and start with that.
Okay, so I have one trivia question for you. It's a history one and a bunch of fun facts after it. So here we go. In what year did the World Series become the first best of seven as opposed to best of nine? A, 1905, B, 1909, or C, 1912?
I'm going to go with 1912.
Oh, no. It's the earlier one. It's 1905.
Really?
Yes.
Is there any reasoning why they decided to do that?
Well, I didn't read that, but apparently there wasn't a World Series in 1904, and 1903 was a best of nine, and they just changed it. I'm guessing there must have been some reasoning behind it. But a fun fact about this World Series in particular, it includes so many records, but one that will stand forever in the books. Each of the five games was a shutout.
Wow.
Victory.
Dead ball era.
Right. Christy Mathewson, a Giants pitcher, he threw three complete game shutout victories against the Philadelphia Athletics. Three.
Wow. Baseball was a different game then, I guess.
Oh, my. And he actually said this quote, which was very cool, because I can see him kind of loving scouting reports and StatCast that we have nowadays. He says, "I always tried to learn about the hitters. Anytime someone got a hit off me, I made a mental note of the pitch. He would never see that one again." So, Christy Mathewson, what a guy.
He was doing analytics before analytics was a thing.
Exactly.
What do you think about having, if they went back to a nine-game World Series? Would you think that's a little bit too long, or be in favor of that? Or
knowing MLB, they would just do it for money.
Oh yeah,
purposes.
Everything with pro sports leagues is about money. This is the stadium debate is about money too. So.
Exactly. So
it seemed like it'd be a little bit long, but I mean, if it is the World Series, nonetheless, so.
And it is the World Series, and you know what? It's kind of silly how we play 162 games and then we have one game to decide if you're in the playoffs, and then you have only three games, you know. So
I don't like that at
so
all.
The longer it would make sense, but it also would make sense for their wallets. Anyway, actually, the New York Giants in the 1905 season, in the 1905 World Series, they did not yield a single earned run during the series, so they made a mathematically unbreakable record for lowest team ERA at 0.00. Also, the first steal of home happened during this World Series by New York's Bill Dahlin. So here we go. 1905 wow. World Series was a World Series to remember.
Yeah, if only there was like some kind of video that you could watch on YouTube or something. I mean, that seems like
really
an eventful World Series. So
yes.
As far as my trivia that I've got for you, and it kind of ties into what went on this week with the Rays. And of course, Wednesday, we remember that CeCe Sabathia secured his 250th career win. He now has 250 wins and 3,000 plus strikeouts. He is the sixth fastest MLB pitcher to get to that feat of 250 wins and 3,000 strikeouts. Can you name one of the other five?
Nolan Ryan?
No.
Ooh, okay. Oh, so he was just more longevity. Okay, can I keep trying?
Yes.
Randy Johnson.
Yep, you got one.
Nice.
You want to try to see if you can get any more, or
let's give me two more options because you know I. Right,
I'll give you. I'll give you Steve Carlton.
Okay.
And Bob Gibson.
Okay, so the other two are manageable. Okay. Greg Maddux.
No, but kind of in that same era.
Ooh, see.
You probably didn't like him pitching for the Yankees.
Oh, like Andy Pettit?
No.
Okay.
Who? A little bit before Roger Clemens.
Ah, Roger Clemens.
And then the other one was Tom Seaver. Clemens was actually the fastest to get to that feat, 487 games.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah. And then I've got one more. We were a little bit nostalgic about the 2008 season. Who led the team in hits that season?
Ooh. Let's see. Jason Bartlett?
No, but you're on the right track. You're very close. You're about a base away.
Aki Iwamura?
Yep. Wow. He had 172 hits that year. And I think BJ Upton had like 146 or 149 or something. But he batted 274, had 6 home runs, 30 doubles, and 48 RBIs. So a decent season from Aki Iwamura that year. Yeah. I think he's now a player manager in Japan. And then kind of falling off, giving pitchers their fair due. Who led the team in strikeouts during that 2008 season?
Has to be James Shields.
Nope. Think one more guy.
Kazmir?
Yep. Scott Kazmir. 166 strikeouts. 3.49 wow. ERA and 152 innings pitch. And then of course
that was a good team, man.
Yeah. And then of course he was shipped off for Sean Rodriguez and Matt Sweeney, and the rest is history. So all right, let's go ahead to our weekend picks. Who you got?
I got Austin Meadows. We're gonna be facing a couple more right-hander pitchers as opposed to left-handers as last week. He's been hitting pretty poorly the last 15 games, 175 with no home runs. And yesterday he went kind of had a bad day and had a couple strikeouts and a pop-up.
He needs to get back on track. I mean,
yeah, so I see him getting back on track against right-handed pitchers. He's 329 average with an OPS of 1033 and actually 10 of his 12 home runs have come against right-hander pitchers. So I'm looking for Austin Meadows to go off this weekend.
Yeah, the A's will have Tanner Anderson, former Plant High grad, who actually pitched well against the Rays the first time around. Mike Fiers, and then left-handed pitcher Brett Anderson. I've got Kevin Kiermaier. In his last 15 games, he's batting .281, has a couple home runs and 10 RBIs, and he's had some success off of Anderson and Fiers this year too. So I think it's kind of, you know, it seems like Kiermaier, we don't talk about as much. He kind of gets lost a little bit in translation because he's such a constant for the team. But I think he kind of starts to put something together this weekend, or hopefully. I mean, the Rays need everybody to come together and try to bounce back on this road trip, especially after last night's 5-4 devastating loss that ended in a 3-run walk-off home run. So that'll do it for today's show. Remember, you can find us on Twitter at LockedOnRays. You can also email us at LockedOnRays@gmail.com. Again, I'm Kevin Weiss.
I'm Ulysses Sembrano.
Thanks for listening. And remember, you can subscribe to this show on the podcasting app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Rays.